world. We clearly have a national talent pool at a very young age. We started creating sci-fi stories at the age of 3. Still, fourth grade happened, and we discovered, dun-dun-dun, we have dyslexia, and...
We have dyslexia, dysgraphia, ADD. I'm sure you couldn't tell. But it doesn't define us now. I mean, even though I have a hard time reading, it doesn't define me anymore, but it wasn't always that way. To give you a little perspective, the one on top is what I saw like when I was younger, and the one on bottom is what I see now. So what we're trying to say is, anyone can write. Even us. So in fourth grade, some of our learning disabilities start to show up like dyslexia. See, when you have dyslexia, you have no idea that's not normal. When I saw this picture, I said, oh my gosh, you don't see that way? And my sister's like, what? And my whole house started to cry on cue. And so in fourth grade, this started to show up. And we didn't know what it was. We got bullied. We were called stupid.
Lazy.
No one got it. And we went to our dad one day and said, Dad, we're stupid. This is hopeless. We can't do anything. How are we going to be able to graduate high school or college? How are we going to be able to live a normal life? Our confidence, we didn't have it.
It was -0.
Yes.
And he said, that's not true. You guys are really smart. You're creative. And I'm going to prove it to you. You guys are going to write a novel. And we said, what? No way. We're stupid. Did you just hear us? We're stupid. We can't write. And he said, yes, you can. And we went for it. We took one of our ideas that we had in the back of our minds.
And created a novel.
Published Grand Prophecy.
At first, we used speech-to-text programs, but eventually we started to type. And now we've written 4. The first book took us 9 months. And after we finished it, we realized we absolutely love this. We want to do this as a career. We'll describe more about how we ended up publishing a little bit later on.
So we had a manuscript, we rewrote it, we got it edited, we hired an editor who's all independent, we got the cover art,
this guy.
We have a long history with Uncle Rob, actually.
He's Uncle Rob now.
Yeah, exactly. So we started out and we started working con-to-con, but we decided to do something crazy, you know, a long shot, a lottery. Send our manuscript in for independent awards that are very prominent and very well respected. We won 8. And we never suspected. Like, we thought we got duplicate emails. And that really put us on the map. This was my confetti slide. I didn't know really what to do with it. So,
they made it look artsy.
There we go. I'm kind of proud of myself. I do a lot of this.
Look how artsy it is.
Yeah, so we ended up going on all those different programs. I have a little picture there of us at a really young age. We started at 12. And we started doing the convention circuit, and then we got nationally recognized and became the youngest multiple awarding authors in the country. And we had our own booth at a show called BEA, Book Expo of America. And a guy named Benjamin Ruby walked up, and we pitched him. And he just happened to be the buyer for Barnes & Noble, and the rest is history.
Wow.
And that was not luck.
None
that
of it's
was
luck.
Not magic. That was going to con, selling as many people as possible next to the bathrooms, doing as much as you can.
There's a myth that we've discovered that there's like a magical person, like an agent, or it's all different in each industry. They'll come
and meet someone and they'll change your lives.
And they'll do everything for you from that point on. That does not exist.
You know who's going to change everything for you?
You!
Go look in a mirror and say, I can do it. And you can. It's amazing.
So every success, any person that's ever been successful is just them working hard. That's it. And it's actually a very liberating idea. It's not somebody else. It's not some lucky situation. It's just them sitting at their booth or whatever they're doing, working long hours, putting their love into what they do.
It's a mathematical model. The more people you meet, the more likely you're going to meet someone who's going to be able to push you to the next level.
Wait, say that into it.
It's preparation meets opportunity all the time. And these guys, they killed it every time because they were very prepared. Even when I first met them, they were prepared. They knew what they wanted, and the opportunity arose every single time because of being prepared.
Thank you.
That's the only serious thing I'm going to say for that.
All right, so we met Uncle Rob. We went on the internet. We're looking for a cover artist. And I think what you're looking for, you're on the internet just looking for...
I don't even know what was going on. I
he was in
I get
jail
bored.
All the time. He was in jail.
I was in jail and nothing better to do. No, occasionally, back in the day, whenever I wanted to do a piece of art and I wasn't booked, which happened rarely,
I would go ahead and look at different sites and say, okay, I want to do this, and this is what I'm doing, and that's how I met them. That was 7 years ago.
We were 12 years old.
Or six. No.
Six?
It was
almost seven.
Okay.
Well, 24 years ago.
It was a long, long time ago in a galaxy far away. No, but we met, this is the first business meeting we ever had. We were in matching little plaid skirts that were, and we were incredibly nervous.
We had to get ready for a business meeting.
Oh my gosh!
And we're kind of still that way, aren't we?
No.
No? So,
and so this is kind of cool. Like, this is the first time he's actually been on our panel. So it's kind of cool because he's family. It's our family. Yeah.
We've been adopted.
Or
yes.
He was adopted. We're all adopted. There you go. So we write about one novel a year. Our first book, wrong one. Our first book is The Strand Prophecy. Our second in the series is Instinctive Embrace, which is science fiction, modern day. Think of like a sci-fi movie, superhero movie in book form.
So it's really fast-paced, very fun, kind of gritty. We're not going to go into the detail of exactly what it's about because we're kind of condensing everything we've learned in the last 6 years in 45 minutes. So we got to keep this pace up. But if you come to our booth afterwards, we'll be happy to explain it to you.
Absolutely. We love to talk. So.
Oh, no laughing. So our second book is Extinctions and Briss. Our third book, which we're waiting for cover art right now, is Strand 3, which is Red Moon Rising.
Okay.
He got this one to us. This is awesome. PCT. We took the basic story of Beauty and the Beast and made it science fiction.
Dark dystopian science fiction.
In the far future, lots of, you know, clones and cyborgs.
With neo-Victorian elements.
She got her fashion stuff in there.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, we had a lot of fun. We wrote this one in 3 months.
We were
on writing one series for years.
First tip. Remember this. Never write two books back-to-back without rewriting one and finishing one before the other. So we thought, we wrote two books, we're finished Strand 3.
We're awesome.
Oh my gosh, it took us a year to do this. Well, let's write another one.
3 months later,
we're done.
Oh, wait a minute. We have two books to rewrite now?
Dun, dun, dun.
Oh, and this one's 95,000 words.
What?
We also write screenplays, comic book, graphic novels, and much more. We just love to write.
Yep,
and we've expanded over time.
Now, creative writing.
Now it's time for creative writing with my very favorite picture.
Look how happy it is.
They're hugging. It's just so happy when we teach, you know, the first graders. They like it. They all give each other hugs because they're in first grade.
Now
it's time for something serious.
Yeah. From a horror movie? That makes complete sense.
Oh, no.
Well,
okay, it doesn't matter how you write. If you handwrite or if you type, it's all writing. Writing, in our opinion, is thought on paper. It's about condensing what you think and your thoughts into a way that other people can enjoy and visualize what you're visualizing. So, whatever medium you like to do it in, that's up to you.
It's all good.
So we use speech-to-text every once in a while. That really, it's the only thing about speech-to-text that I'm not a huge fan of is it's, he walked into delete, you know, period.
That's how we did the first book, though.
Yeah, it worked. Because when you're in fourth grade and you can't spell and you have a vocabulary of a college, college graduate, it makes it difficult to type. So we're often asked, we teach a lot of schools. We've been in front of over 150,000 students, and events like this around the country and some internationally. And we're often asked by people that are not necessarily interested in it, why is this even relevant? You know, I got this. I'm going to be an engineer. Why is creative writing relevant? It doesn't have anything to do with my future profession. And so words. And we're like, well, there's something special about writing. When more you write, the better you get. And the better you get at all types of writing. It applies to novels, short stories, novellas, film treatments, film screenplays, television scripts, video game treatments, and so on and so forth. And the more you write creatively, the better you're going to get at resumes, emails, essays.
Blogs.
Blogs.
It's all the same. It's all connected.
I actually enjoy writing essays because I've learned that it's just a different way of structuring and getting thoughts out on a specific subject. Okay, it's time for creative writing. Woohoo, are you ready?
Yeah.
All right, so our creative writing method's a little bit different. First is the end, Bennett. The beginning. Do you like the animations? I like the animations. End, beginning, middle, end, beginning, middle, end, beginning.
Middle.
All right, we've got time. We've got time. So we start planning our stories out at the end. Ben, the beginning, Ben, the middle. This is really structured. What do we start out with, guys?
The end.
Ben,
the beginning.
No. I just slammed this in. No. I gotta try this again. The first graders get this right. What do you start out with?
The end.
Then?
The beginning.
Then?
The middle.
Good. There you go. Okay, so we don't actually start typing it at the end. We start planning it out on the end. So, writing in the end would be kind of confusing. This is about planning before actual typing. So, what we plan out first in a very basic structure, 8 words or less. He survived. She lived happily ever after. The earth is destroyed and no one survives. Right? A bit gloomy. And people are already right. I've gotten this question as well. I have an entire universe of laser cats. We made this one up. This one, because I didn't want to put anyone's stories out there, but this is my universe. I have an entire universe of laser cats, and each laser cat has a different ribbon that has to do with their specific class and power. And they have guilds, and the guilds fight. Detail, later.
Ribbon!
5 minutes later.
Yeah?
But how can I put that into a short 8 word or less ending? Well, what happens at the end? They win the war. Ta-da! Laser cats! Very basic on a build. On a laser cat note, it actually got very popular at an elementary school in Rossmore, and there's entire posters of it on the wall, and it's our official story. So, just, it got popular. Which actually kind of made us happy. King Anchovy's a superstar now. So, Princess Tuna, never mind. Enough with the laser cats.
But so, it was just so cool.
If at the end he survives, what would be the basic beginning? It was just another day. Everything was normal. Right? Does that make sense to you guys? And if she was, she lives happily ever after. She wasn't happy. That's the way it's gonna work. It's basic, it's just reverse engineering your story. If the earth is destroyed and not one thing survives, then the earth was fine at the beginning. Make sense?
Yep.
Thumbs up? Awesome. This is all very basic at the beginning. It's just basic planning out so you can build. You're building a story. So then you connect the middle and the end and you have your story. And this is really logical. If at the end he survives and in the beginning he's fine, that means something dangerous has to happen in the middle. Get it?
Yep.
Right. That's it. See? Very simple, very straight to the point. Now, we have an example story I'm going to share with you, so you can kind of visualize it better. And it's very silly, and it's very fun, and good for all ages. So, at the end, he survives. At the beginning, it was just another day. In the middle, something dangerous happens. So, okay. So then we do the imagine method, which we're going to teach. Oh, I wasn't actually speaking into the mic. Sorry. Then we're all going to do the imagine method, which we should teach them now or after.
After.
We're teaching you after. So we're all going to close our eyes and visualize the last scene in detail and reverse engineer it. It's like a guided meditation. It actually works, believe it or not. It works really well.
I like guided meditation.
So when you think for 1 minute about your last scene, your 8 word or less last scene, and this is what we came up with. Our character, Chills, was walking on a planet with purple mountains and green gorgeous woods. There is a spaceship crash in the background. We were chilling at the time, so we named him Chills. This is an all-ages story. We don't usually write stuff this silly. It's usually, you know, sci-fi horror, everyone dies. But we decided to do something fun, because fun is fun. Kind of like those initial, you know, 50s astronaut adventurer stories.
Yeah.
So, we imagined our ending. Chills was walking on a planet with purple mountains and green dew on his boots. There's a spaceship crash in the background. Now, that's the end. The beginning is literally the opposite. Chills was flying a spaceship, admiring the mountains and the green dew waterfall. Make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Now, okay, he crashes at the end. What? And at the beginning, he's flying. How does he crash? He falls asleep.
Ta-da!
This is very simple. You have a story.
You reverse engineer it. And sometimes, you'll get up and think, oh my gosh. And you have your idea, and they have to be great. They have to be as good as, insert your favorite author here you look up to,
who wrote for 60 years longer than you have and lived 150 years ago.
Now I have to be just like them. No, I have to be better than them. And then you get all worried about the ideas and freak out, and then you have an anxiety attack, and then you don't write.
Oh, tip. Every person who writes, I'm pretty sure this is, every author doesn't like their own stuff. When they read it, they're like, this is horrible. They're not as good as, insert author here, I'm no good.
Oh my gosh.
I'm no good.
No good. So stop it.
It's
stop
not
it now.
Everybody's that way. The stop hardest it. Thing about writing is fighting yourself to be able to get it done. Because you're your biggest critic. All right, here's our story. Would you like us to read it, or would you like to read it yourselves?
Read it. So we were geniuses and thought, let's not bring our glasses to the panel.
All right, Brenna, go for it. Wish me luck.
My eyes are good. My eyes are clear. I can see all words.
Okay. Tills opened the canopy of his spaceship. It was a beautiful, warm night. The planet had crazy purple mountains, which seemed to glow. It had been a long time since he left Earth, and Tills was happy to have found a planet with oxygen. After all, there is only so much time a person could spend cooped up in a spaceship. Tills put his feet up on the control panel, grabbed some chips, and began to munch. The warm air, the stars, and the alien mountains were soothing. A moment later, he dozed off. As soon as he did, his leg slid off the control panel and landed on the engine's kill switch. The ship started to dive toward the green goo waterfall between two large rocks ahead. Chills fell off his chair and awoke instantly. He turned the engines off and pulled the controls back to try to avoid crash landing. His ship just missed the green goo waterfall, and even though some of the goo fell into the ship, but it was too late. Thank you. A moment later, his ship crash-landed and slid to a stop. He survived. Ahead, he could see the lights of a space colony. Chill stood up and stepped out of the ship, but not before getting some of the glowing green goo on his boots. He walked halfway to the lights of the space colony, then paused. He looked at his boots, then back at the ship. My favorite boots! I hope this goo washes off. I can't believe I left my chips on the ship, he thought to himself, and continued on to the space colony. So do you see how we took the basic story arc and created a story around that?
Yes.
All right. Everyone understands it?
Yeah.
Everyone, thumbs up. All right. Everyone gets it?
Yep.
Then we can continue. All right. So now that you have your story, it's time to write it. So what you're going to do is write it. The first time, and not edit as you go. Don't edit as you go. Just, is it that there?
Right,
or the
other
comes
there.
Out. No rules, don't edit. Because you're going to get tripped up on every small little detail. Like the different there's.
Which there? Which
yeah.
there?
I
yeah.
know this, that, the. Just get it out one time. If you don't like it, forget it. You're going to be editing this a lot.
There's actually, there's a rough draft, and then I just heard a term in Hollywood people use for the first draft called the puke draft, which is very realistic.
Authors should do it more often so it doesn't take you 10 years to finish something.
Just get it out.
Just
then you
keep
can
repeating.
Rewrite and you can get, spelling and grammar and all the stuff your teachers taught you. Just finish.
And you have to learn about over and over again and you don't want to learn what you do.
Right.
So those are writing tips.
Before we continue, remember, first draft, just get it out, don't edit as you go. Next draft, edit. Ready? Did everyone understand that?
Yeah.
Very simple. And we always recommend to reread it, that after you do that first draft, without editing as you go. Sit on your hands, doesn't matter. And then afterwards, edit, because it gives you perspective on what you want to change.
All right.
Good.
Yeah. Yep.
Excellent. Okay. So, right. For your writing, keep calm. Don't freak out. Second, keep going. Don't rush. If you're going to write really fast, it's not going to turn out good.
because you don't know what you're writing. You're not thinking through it. Focus. Don't obsess over every detail. It doesn't matter. The rust on the pipe next to the person near a cat named Joe doesn't apply to your story. Because Joe's not even a character. Just saying. It's a story.
There's stories. I'll read it and be like, this is so many details. It's great. If you can say, he had a scar on his face in the war he was as a teenager. His face was worn, upset, angry. That's fine. You don't have to describe, he was wearing all green next to a cat that was black with gray eyes.
And next to
the cat had a hard life. And next to the cat was a mouse. The mouse was looking around intently, thinking about cheese. Cheese is around here somewhere. And he scurried along and then met a small roach. This doesn't matter, okay?
Nobody cares about the roach or the mouse or the cat.
You're writing a crime novel.
So you're not writing about a roach. It's a mouse.
So when you get it done, read it one time over and don't edit. Just read it over and say, oh, okay, this makes a lot more sense. Write down notes. I know you all want to edit. Don't do it. You're getting a lot of perspective. We mentioned this twice because we are the biggest defenders of this, especially me.
I still have to remind her. I actually reread my third book in the series and realized it missed. I needed a full main character that wasn't in it. And I rewrote the entire thing. I'm right in the middle of it right now. I'm like, wow, this person isn't supposed to be the main character. It's supposed to be someone else. And I just thought about it, took long walks. Thought. It hit me. Oh! And boy, that was a lot of work. But it was worth it, and it ended up being 10 times better than I could have ever imagined before. But if I didn't reread it over, it wouldn't have made sense, and it would have been choppy.
Okay, I'm going to ask a silly question now. We were working at a convention, so when you're working at a convention, you speak really fast. Are we speaking too fast?
No.
Right on. So, remember, start with the end, and the beginning, and the middle. End, beginning, middle. End,
beginning.
Middle. All right, I think you got it. I think I can stop now. Okay, this is where we create a story together.
Yay! All right, so we're going to do...
Ours is a special panel. Ours is interactive.
Yes!
Yay.
And then we're going to create a story together. All right, so think of an 8-word or less ending.
Well, actually
ask them. We should ask them. Anyone have an 8-word or less ending? For example, they won the war. He found the buried treasure.
The corpse was reanimated. All right, start screaming it out. Or should we pick? Sunglasses.
They went their separate ways.
Ooh. That's so depressing. I'm so sorry. My heart goes out to you, man.
He was reunited with his pet rock.
That's all the pet rocks.
Those actually could go together. So.
He ate the turkey sandwich.
Next. Good job, man. Ooh!
What?
She was reborn.
Ooh!
Good job, guys. You're starting to get this.
I think we're rubbing
interactive panel.
I think we're rubbing off on them.
Back there, far away. I can't see you, but you're there. You, yes. Scream it out. Go for it. Don't be shy, my friend. You're talking over him.
They got their hands on the comic.
What? The comic.
Their hands on the comic.
Cool. I like it. All right. I can't see you because you're covered, but you're wearing a hat. Yes, a hat.
The cat took umbrage. Yes.
Awesome. Hat and bat.
Everybody died.
Oh! I like the pet rock one and the turkey sandwich better. Okay. That's incredibly complicated, intense, and intellectual.
He was so ugly that everyone...
You know, I've done a lot of these, and I've never had anyone do it in the voice of the character. Let's give him a round of applause. Planet began to reassemble. Whoa. Can you guys visualize that? All right. That's what we're going to pick. Just for now. You can all do this on your own later. We just got to pick one that's, you know, science fiction. We're not biased. We're not
Alright, so everyone, the planet started to reassemble. Close your eyes. All at once.
This is like a guided meditation.
Now you have to remember we can see you. So you better close your eyes.
If you're close your eyes and put your wallets on the floor.
Exactly. So,
what he said, just as tough.
So everyone, close your eyes and think. The planet started to reassemble. Now this could be anything. This could be a ship, this could be a real planet, a moon, a dream, anything. It's all up to you. Alright?
So, we are going to start a timer for 1 minute. You're going to close your eyes for 1 minute, and it'll be like a guided meditation. We'll be talking very slowly and calmly, unlike right now, and you'll still be doing your thing.
Alright. So think. The planet started to reassemble.
Close your eyes. I see you not closing your eyes. It's you.
And begins. So think to yourself. The planet started to reassemble. Where is your character? Now take the first image that comes to your mind and keep it there. Don't let it go. Expand it. Where is your character? What's going on around him or her or it? Keep thinking. Don't let the image go. This is the last scene. What are they wearing? Or what do they look like? 10 more seconds. All right, that's it. Do you have a scene?
Yep.
Oh, sorry.
Do you have your scenes?
Yep.
Okay, who's going to share with us?
My character was in the center of the planet. And he was just all white.
Ooh. And it started to reassemble around him?
Yes.
Ooh, that's beautiful visual.
As an alien saying, oh, it was just a voice saying, the alien started to tap into the secret inner energy, and it was an alien dressed like a plant.
Ooh, tribal. Cool.
The planet starts to reassemble. The main character is watching it from a ship with his crew, and they're applauding and happy to see the planet start to reassemble.
Ooh.
An alien is on the overseeing the reconstruction on a ship because they blew it up years before and now they have to put it back together because
cool. Woohoo!
The planet is the character reconstituting after a catastrophic war.
Dun dun dun.
Alright.
Hat? You're wearing a hat over there. You were raising your hand when you wore a hat? Yes. These are awesome. All right, one more.
Okay.
We don't have a lot of time.
Our character is in a big biosphere in orbit, surrounded by lots of green plants, and he's watching, just absolutely amazed as the planet starts to reassemble itself. But behind him are like 20 naked people who just watched the Earth explode. So they're just like going for it, having sex with each other.
Well, that's a first. That's a first.
I was going to draw a picture of it.
Hold on.
Okay, we're definitely not teaching elementary school students anymore. Oh my god, I never got that at any of the schools. Okay, yeah, none of the elementary schools, no.
They would have gotten expelled.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Okay, so we got to take an ending, and then I'm going to summarize it for you. I'm going to think about which ending. Okay.
Okay, let's think. I'm actually going to tell you guys a story in a minute. She's going to summarize it to show you how to put it together. Cool? All right. Very cool. This ending is very complicated.
This is a very complicated story. I think what I would do is take the one where it was in the planet reassembling.
The character was in the planet all white,
right? So what I would do at the beginning is that the planet would be destroyed. It would be, maybe, I think it would be a moon, that there would be a young boy on a distant planet that was an orphan. They don't know where he came from. And he was found, and he gets taken in and raised. But there's always a legend about how there was a moon, and then the moon's aligned, the planet will be in peace again. There's a major war that's breaking out over this, over something that's on the moon, thinking maybe a treasure? How do you like that?
Yeah.
Right. A simple object can cause the death of millions of people.
You can just start with a simple
But you find out, which is interesting, as he starts to grow up, you find that he finds that he's different. He can reassemble objects, and particularly pieces of the planet. There's something different about him. And there was always a legend of someone coming back to change, to bring back change and bring the two sides of the war together. Now, the other side doesn't want this to happen. And he doesn't know it, but he was genetically engineered for the job. So the other side comes, middle of the story, huge chase scene. He discovers his past. They try to kill him. And at the very end, he ends up in space, reassembling, turning white, reassembling the moon. And the Earth is now in peace, or whatever planet's in peace. Make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yay! I'm not sure where that came from. It just came.
Oops.
So what happened is you take that simple ending, you visualize it, you see all the pieces, okay, what do you look like? You think about that, you reverse engineer it to the beginning, and then you have the beginning and ending, you start to create the middle to connect.
Alright, so we're gonna really rush this part, and I apologize for that, but we gotta get to the other part, which I think is a little bit more important and something you wouldn't necessarily hear about other places. So there's five ways to publish your book.
And this is a very simple explanation.
Thank you.
So, of just all the different ways of publishing and then some of the experiences we had. We are independent. We opened our own publishing company and we do our own online distribution, and that worked very well for us. We were indie before indie was cool. So I'll put it to you this way. We were at our first convention 6 years ago. Someone walked up to our booth to pick up the book and said, oh.
We were 12 years old.
And we looked 8. So who published this book? We said, oh, we did it ourselves. Look at me. Just threw it down, started laughing, walked away.
Now it's
on the floor, too. Yeah,
very odd guy. But that's the type of independent, no one liked it. Now, indie's cool. It retained your rights, and especially with the economy, really went downhill, especially with the publishing world. So retaining our rights was definitely the right thing to do. So,
now, there's one more thing I want to say. It'll come back to me. I know what it is. So
oh my gosh, did I just forget it?
Come back to me right at the right moment. Continue.
Five different ways to publish your book. One, literary agent, conventional method that you guys all know about. Right? Sending it into a literary agent. The pros. The pros.
Never mind. So the pros to this. You have someone else pay you to write it or pay you to own your rights. They format, they give you art, and they... If all things go well, they distribute it nationally or regionally, whatever, or if you're really lucky, maybe internationally. And you get paid royalties and they own your rights.
They pay like a couple times a year.
So does that make sense?
Yeah.
Pro, you get paid!
Yay!
They might just take your rights and shove them. There is a term that no one, it may not always happen. There's a lot of people that have great experience as publishers. But our job here is to tell you the different things. The negative. There's a term being called being shelved. Being shelved is when your rights are bought and you sell them off and then they don't do anything with it.
Great, you get $600, but you're never going to be able to do anything with your work ever again.
Now someone else owns it and you don't even have the rights for a musical.
God, and really in this day and age, you really don't need one. You can build up your own work as independent, get recognized, get your film optioned, and keep your own rights.
Or just build it up to a point where you have a little bit more bargaining power.
That's what we're doing now.
But it all depends on who you are. Just get a good lawyer.
Lawyers are very necessary. So, distributor, you finance, edit, publish, and print. Then, There's also, I'll describe something. Then your books are put down in the conventional book sales channels, which is
not just Barnes and Noble now.
And ebooks. But you can also do a pure online distribution.
Then retailers buy from distributors, and your books are warehoused and wholesalers like Ingram. And that's normal.
That's all good. Ebooks, this is the way of the future. Everyone write down and research John Locke, because he did it. You can publish and promote your own stuff online and get a following for it using social media. And that's the way of the future.
This
and there's serious, if you get, I mean, we were doing the math the other day. If you can get 1 million people to click on your link, you can make a lot of money if you have $5 ebook. Just about the percentage of people that would buy it. And just a small percentage. Ebook is the way of the future. It's all about online marketing. Take a course on that. And that's future for most every industry because that's it about records to iTunes or CDs to iTunes. That's exactly what's going on. Now, directed digital, this is the way of the future. Then there's direct print. You can just print up your own stuff and sell it online. You can sell it at conventions and promote your work. But then again, you're putting the money out, you're putting the time out, no one's paying you. And you're doing it on your own. Everything's pros and cons. Got it? Okay. You can ask more about this later, but now it's time for the creative treatment. You finally up.
Hi, everyone. So my section of the panel is going to talk about how to take your novel and transition it into TV and film. So I've worked in a variety of different arenas. I developed shows for ABC, produced a feature over the summer called Higher Power that will be out next year as a sci-fi thriller. It's going to be really fantastic. I've done web series that just launched a few weeks ago called American Puppet. Everyone loves dirty puppet shows, so please go watch it. So the gamut of different media, and the thing that it all comes down to with all of these things is story. It always is going to be about telling a great story. So what we're going to talk about here is how to translate, in a way, your literary property, your novel, into those different media. And I say translate because a lot of people think about the process of taking a book to something like TV and film as adaptation. And it's really not like that as much as you would think. Adaptation is a sort of one step of the process where you're taking something from one media into the other. But when you're going from a literary medium into a visual medium, it really is a translation process. So anyone here bilingual? Right? So you ever watch TV shows and they have subtitles at the bottom? And if you know both languages, you realize that that's really not what's being said at all. Right? Because those subtitles can only give you so much of the information. So a lot of times, and if you read novels that have been translated, or especially poetry that have been translated, there's something that's more about getting the essence of what needs to come across versus word for word. So that's really what you're doing when you're taking your literary medium and translating it into a visual one, is you're taking the essence of what's in that medium and adapting it to that other form. So novels versus movies, a lot of times you'll watch a movie that's based on a book, and you're like, yeah, the book was better. Well, of course the book was better. Because you had hundreds and hundreds of pages to tell the story instead of 90 minutes. It's one of the reasons why TV has really started to go to books and book series as a platform, because you have much more story that you can get into over a longer period of time. So it's something to just keep in mind as you're trying to take the essence of your idea and put it into one of those more visual media, is that it really has to be about the heart of the project. So when you are trying to sort of come up with your creative materials, one of the most important things is what I call a letter of intent. It's really a statement of purpose, right? This is why you are excited about the project, why you wrote it, how you came up with the idea, all your favorite things about it. And the reason that I think it's good to put these things down on paper is because you have to be able to show your excitement and enthusiasm for your project. If you can't show your excitement and enthusiasm, you can't really expect other people to be excited and enthusiastic about it as well, right? So why you want to tell the story, where it came from, a personal or emotional connection. If you were in the FBI and now you're writing an FBI show, you probably have a lot of good stuff to bring to the table on that front, so you should talk about that, okay? Logline. Loglines are the curse and the blessing of any project because they're extremely hard to write, but everyone is going to want one. A lot of times before you're even able to set a pitch for a TV show or for a movie, you'll have to send over the logline that gives the essence of who the character is, what the world is, and how you're going to explore it. It's kind of insane to try and whittle down a whole movie, a whole TV show, or a whole novel into one sentence, but you got to do it. A great place to look at examples of this is the Internet Movie Database, IMDb. A lot of movies have the log lines right there on the movie page, so you can get a sense of movies that you've seen, movies that you haven't seen, how they've kind of whittled it down to the bare essentials. So then, another thing that's really useful to have, again, it's about starting with the shortest version of what your idea is, the log line, and then building it out a little bit more to a short synopsis, which is usually about a page worth of material. Then after that, you could have a longer synopsis or a treatment that gets you much more in-depth about the characters in the story. But with the short synopsis, what I like to do is use these principles that the ladies have been talking about as breaking your story up into the beginning, the middle, and the end, right? Because it's easy to think about story structure in that way. Most films have three acts. You think about Aristotelian poetics, it's about the beginning, middle, and the end of the story, not necessarily in that order, right? So when you're breaking it down into these three structures, you then take it one more step after that. So you separate the beginning into the beginning of the beginning, the middle of the beginning, and the end of the beginning, okay? So these are the three steps that will get you into that first section of your story. The beginning of the beginning is the introduction of your character, the world, the conflict, and the circumstances, right? This is just the essentials of where you're going to be going in this longer journey, but really is your place to set up all of those things, right? The middle of the beginning is what's called the inciting incident. That's the moment when the world changes and will never be the same for your characters again. It's that call to action, right? The end of the beginning is the commencement of the hero's journey and accepting the mission. So after that, the problem has been presented and the mission has been taken on and your story continues from there. When you get into the middle, that's the meat, right? That's where the adventure happens. So the beginning of the middle is when the quest begins. It's setting off to find the ring, right? The middle is the midpoint, the fulcrum, an unexpected change where you thought your story was going to go one direction and then it ends up taking you another one. Right? Because otherwise, the movie would be done halfway. Instead, you want there to be a new beginning at that midpoint. And then the end of the middle is the anticlimax. So you get to a place where you think that you've defeated the villain, right? Bane, I see over there, right? You fight Bane, and then you think you've defeated him, and then, of course, he's not dead. He comes back and you have to battle again. Okay. End of the end, then you've gotten over that anticlimax, there's rising action towards the ultimate climax and then the big battle, right? The final climactic showdown, the two characters professing their love to each other, depends on what genre you're working in. And then after that, the end of the end, the denouement, the conclusion, wrapping up your story. So when you're working on this, it's good to whittle it down to those principles for the short synopsis. When you get a little longer and you go into your treatment stage, you really want to base things, because we're working in a visual medium, on those visual elements. So you're selling characters. Character should be the root of everything, but really you should be focusing on visuals, dramatic journey, and combining those things as much as possible. Imagery, action, and emotion, right? Those are the three guiding principles for your treatment. And then when you do character breakdowns, it really is proportional to the importance of your character in that story. So major characters, a large paragraph or a page, supporting characters, maybe a short paragraph, and then other minor characters, a couple sentences. Focus on the backstory of those characters, where they come from, who they are, their personality, the relationships with the other characters, especially the protagonist, and those individual story arcs.
All right. So, when he said we were going to pack...
Did you get all that?
Yeah.
Now we only have like 3 minutes, which we thought was going to happen because we pack a ridiculous amount of information into this. So, this is where Rob...
Wow.
It's going to teach how to sell. You have 3 minutes and go.
Oh, no.
I'm sorry, two. Run.
Quick thing. I've got two TV shows coming out next year, one on Lifetime, one on FX. I've got a Lionsgate movie that I'm directing next year, and then another independent movie that I'm directing next year, along with just a ton of other things. But let's just go down because I have about a minute and a half. When you have your... When you have all of your ideas, you write them down, you put them into a pitch pack. Something that has visuals, something that you know backwards and forwards. I can't tell you the amount of times that I've seen people go into a room and they can't answer questions that a producer or somebody will ask. Know your story backwards and forwards. And, I mean, if you're going in and you don't know your story backwards and forwards, something's wrong. Like, you know, rethink it maybe a little bit. And, wow. I mean, I know, I'm like, wait, 30 more seconds.
We've got 5 minutes, you're fine.
Oh, okay.
You're all
you know, whenever I've sold anything or done anything, you know, I've been rejected at different places. The key to it is just keep trying. Don't ever just give up and stop. Because I'm telling you right now, I've seen more people do that and just, I didn't sell it the first time out. It's probably not going to happen. Be prepared for it. You might get lucky. You might do it. The more you have that can back up, you know, your story and everything that you can go in with, the better your sales are going to be on it. Rather than me keep rambling about some of this stuff, you guys probably have some questions that would be better suited to answer than any more of that.
Because he pretty much covered it.
Also,
there was the last one that was very important. Oh, also, I should let you know that our writing method is actually at our booth, and we're actually coming out with what we just talked about in book form in a couple months. So if you go on our mailing list, which is at our booth, we'll give you more information on that. We are in booth 1001, right across from Whimsic Alley. There won't be enough time to answer all your questions, but come up to us and we'll answer any question you have at the booth. Got it? Questions?
All right.
Any questions?
You. Yeah, you. That's a great question. Well, you can either at conventions look at people. There are tons of artists that are around. You might be able to team up with someone. If you can't, what most people do, they go find photos on the internet and they put together a little picture book as best they can. Visuals will always help because most of the time producers. You gotta give them visuals to go with it, especially nowadays. So just look up photos, look up whatever you want.
And we can take one more photo. We can take one more question.
Yeah, you're not selling it. There's no copyright issues.
It's also, just about having tone photos, something that can be a visual corollary, so you're not really infringing copyright if you're not publishing it or trying to make money off it directly.
Green shirt. Oh, okay.
If you don't have a manager or an agent that are doing it for you, usually I found the best way is just keep knocking on doors, call, try and set, you know, it's really, for me, it's all been repetition. It's just staying at it and calling the studios and trying to set up certain meetings.
Even
that's a great question. That's the chicken and the egg. You know, the best things to do with something like that and to get a proper manager is literally look up a bunch of managers on the internet and start writing them letters and seeing if you can sit down with them, because they're going to have more ideas for you than not. And just try and get into a room with a manager. That's probably what I would do for the first step on that.
All those places have...
Oh, dear. Well, thank you very much for coming. Thank you very much for your patience.